Guy, are you listening? Are you listening? If you're not listening, then see your life. And of course, I've decided to redirect my podcast to a conversation on Afrobeats, the African genre dominating the global music scene. And as a fan or mshabiki in Swahili, you can expect to hear my take, interviews, and banter on all matters surrounding Afrobeats. And of course, you're listening to the Afro Banter Beats podcast with Bobby Nishimwe. And it is not banter, it is banter. Please, Guy, don't vex me now.
Man, we made it through. It's going to be another good week. A little more chill. Mm-hmm. I'll get a lot more sleep this week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's all that matters. That is all that matters. Well, I've always wanted to have you on. I was just waiting. I was like, yeah, I was waiting for the right moment. What conversation, what topic are we going to have? And it just so happens that, you know, you were texting me some stuff, and I was like, you know what? I think that's what we need. That's the topic we need to have on the pod. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that it worked out.
I'm proud of us. I'm happy for us. Whatever this turns into.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
How is Ghana right now? How is the temperature there?
It's not too bad. It's been raining a lot lately, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it tricks you. Like, you go outside, it's a little cloudy, and then by 11, you're like, you're burning. You're toasting in an oven.
Yeah.
It's still a little humid, but I think I've gotten used to it. I'm like, I fare well in warm weather as opposed to the other hellish things.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. How's New York treating you? Oh my God, I haven't talked to you since you.
Hey, let me see some. New York is different. New York is, hey, wow. Mm-hmm. The city is expensive. I'm just, woo. You know what? Yeah. But it is what it is. I wanted a challenge, I wanted something new. Something different from DC, and so here we are, and I'm enjoying it as much as I can. But I will say, as challenging as it is living in New York at this current moment, it's oh so exciting, and I think it's pushing me to explore a lot more different aspects of myself and to really like hone in and like just like tap into those aspects, because it's like, since I'm not really going out on the weekends, well, what else can I do to, you know, keep myself occupied? You know what I mean? You know, write, podcast, whatever. Do stuff, do other things that can keep me entertained. And I think that is the good thing about New York. Like, you're going to have to find something to keep yourself entertained. Because if you can't afford the other stuff, well, there's other things that you can find to do that are free 99. And this is one of them. So that's what I'm doing.
I love it.
You
know, I can't wait to visit.
No, you definitely do need to come soon. And I would definitely love to be in Accra, but the way them ticket prices be looking.
You need to plan like a good 6 months ahead. You have a place to stay, of course. Just take that out of the budget and come.
Yeah.
And once you're here, it's not New York expensive at all. That is not the life we're living. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. So come here and stay a couple weeks, 2 weeks. Have a good time. Mm-hmm. See what it's like. And then go home.
Everyone's going to be in Ghana this December. Everybody. Like, you mean Accra. No, I'm not going to Accra. No. Stop asking me.
You sound kind of sad. You sound kind of aggressive.
No, I'm jealous. I'm not even going to lie. I am. Everybody is going to Accra. Everyone. Aunties, uncles, cousins. People you hate, people you love. I don't hate people, but.
My mom wanted me to go home for Christmas, and I was like, I'll give you Christmas, but I can't give you New Year's.
Is she going back?
Yep. I'm flying back from Kigali, 26th of December. Yep. I'm ready.
Wow. I know it's going to be insane. I can already picture it. And this is going to somewhat verge onto the conversation we're going to have today. You know, a lot of American artists are like gung-ho on going to Accra, Ghana this December. I mean, do you think that, you know, and again, when I say this to the people who are listening, like, you all will understand later as to why we're going to have this conversation. But like, because, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, when places like, like places that like back in the day were like exclusive, and not to say like, mm-hmm. oh, we want exclusivity in places we go visit or in our culture, whatever it may be. But those places that like, you know, would be like, oh, if you go to Mykonos, like going to Mykonos now is not the same as it was like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, right? Like mm-hmm. it was more like really, really, really bougie and different, like because it was kind of low key. It was one of those like, oh, if you know, you know, if you don't, you don't. And I feel like now mm-hmm. that Ghana, like Accra is just like, everybody's always talking about going to Ghana. And all yeah, the American celebrities and musicians are all going there. Do you think it's going to dilute the experience that people have? Or?
Not necessarily. I think December is a completely different time in Accra. December, yeah. Accra turns into, like, the traffic gets worse. The, like, people on the street look different. They're also just from different places. So I think it's definitely a product of like the Europe return and then the follow-up on that and then all the PR that Ghana has done for that. And you see it in like both music but also just like the tourism industry. I don't think it dilutes the experience. Of course, like I hear Ghanaians say things like, come December, some of them won't be going to like Afro Nation, Afrocella. They'll just like go to the regular clubs and bars and see the same celebrities and have like their own experience. So I think if you are from Accra, like life goes on, and this is your city regardless. But Ghanaians are generally welcoming, so I don't think it's something that they mind. I think like they feed into that energy. They feed into it, definitely.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing to hear. But yeah, so everyone, you know, the reason I got Kakazi on for today is that she had texted me, I think it was, I don't know, sometime after my birthday or something, or on my birthday or something like that. I think we were talking about what was it that I had just posted or wrote? It was on, what's his name? Rema's feature with Selena Gomez. Yeah, for his song. What is that song called? How am I forgetting a song that I literally wrote?
Huh? Baby, calm down.
Calm down, yeah. Yes. I had just posted something about that and, well, which, you know, I thought the feature artistically speaking was not the greatest, but business wise, I thought it was an amazing move. And I remember from that, you sort of, brought up, you added more conversations to that topic, of sort of what impact is the addition and the increased featuring of sort of Western artists on Afrobeats and just generally African music. What impact is that going to have on the genre? What impact is it going to have on sort of what we think about African music or who we think has a ownership of African music, Afrobeats? But then you also even took it a little bit granular in that it's not just about, oh, we're having these Western artists on these African song features, but then you also have an issue where obviously everybody knows Afrobeats, and it is the most popular, or at least well-known, I should say, African genre, which by itself, Afrobeats is not even necessarily a genre. It's an umbrella term for a lot of subgenres in West Africa, I should say. Right. And you sort of even brought up the idea of, you said, I'm a pianization of Afrobeats. So almost this thing of like, hey, there's a conversation that needs to be had about what it's going to mean when we're exporting this music of ours, this music from the continent to the West, and including a lot of Western acts on it. What is that going to mean in terms of how people view the craft and what the craft ends up becoming, and ownership of the craft, like what that conversation is going to look like. But what about even other genres on the continent that end up getting morphed into the bigger Afrobeats terminology of music that's mostly from West Africa? And when we say that, mostly Nigeria and Ghana. But at this point, it's really Nigeria that's sort of the forefront of it. But yeah, so sort of those are sort of the questions that you sort of were posing at me. And I was like, well, you know what? I think we should have that conversation.
To start with thinking of this globalization of Afrobeats as first on the continent and then thinking about it as the world, right? And then you can include those Western acts, right? So when you think about Afrobeats and it's like Nigerian and Ghanaian origins, there's already so much like beef between that. Like whenever, I don't remember, I think it was Mr. Easy, I don't remember how long ago, when he said something about how like Nigerian music owes a lot to, or pulls a lot from Ghanaian music. And he's a Nigerian artist, but he like grew up in Ghana, makes a lot of Ghanaian type music. But when he said that, people came for his neck, like, and it's not just him. I don't remember who else a couple years later tried to say the same thing. But I think we get this thing where it's not even a gatekeeping of Afrobeats. It's just more like people want to act like it's just Nigerian when at this point in time, it's not. It's not. It cannot be. It's kind of for the continent. Everywhere you go on the continent, they're playing it. Everywhere you go on the continent, they're kind of trying to make it, right? And I think that as long as people try to, like, get that essence of Afrobeats, and I'm not saying essence of Afrobeats lightly. I think, like, there's a reason why that Calm Down remix didn't work. It's because Selena Gomez does not have that essence I'm talking about, you know?
Right.
The, like, you get on an Afrobeat, like, beat or song, and you just write it through, you know? Sometimes they're just saying nonsense. It's just winnie, winnie, wanna, wanna, but it sounds so good. It sounds so right, right? And I think as long as you keep that sound, regardless of where you are on the continent, and as long as you acknowledge that, like, yes, it has its Nigerian and Ghanaian roots, then you should be allowed to, you know, play with it, which is really my argument down the line for the Afropiano and the Amapianoization of Afrobeats, all of that. But I think where it gets different is when we let the Westerners into it. Yeah. When we let the Westerners into it, it just gets stickier, because then you start to think about music and the business side of it, which is not how I prefer to think of music. But realistically, if you think about, like, a lot of the big money and a lot of the big crowds that are being pulled in by Afrobeats right now, it's not that we owe a lot to, but one of the main reasons that Afrobeats has taken the global stage is because of Western acts, right?
Right.
Drake, Beyonce, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes they do it right, sometimes they do it wrong, but at the end of the day, we know where it came from, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that when it does come to money, when it does come to credit, when it does come to, like, all sorts of capital that can come from that sort of thing, it should go to the people who were, like, the primary, like, the pioneers, the builders of that entire industry, of that entire culture.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that in terms of the distribution of sort of benefits, the economic benefits coming out of a given genre, in this instance, Afrobeats. But in the same vein, when you're talking about it from a global perspective, I mean, and this, and there's an article which we'll probably be referencing some of this stuff from. The article is called Ashake, DJ Mafarisa, and Nigeria's Quest to Adopt Amapiano. That is in the Native magazine, and that's an article by Dennis Aide or Ade Peter. And so, sort of, you have that conversation in that article. They actually do talk a little bit about this, about, you know, it's not necessarily a problem that a genre that that originated from a certain place is being also popularized in another part, that a location that was where it does not originate from. But who benefits, who is benefiting the most from the popularization of said genre, right? And I think that's a conversation of sort of the economic benefits and sort of reaping those benefits. Who is reaping those benefits the most? Is it the Western acts? Is it the Nigerian acts who are benefiting the most from sort of the Afropiano, as we can term it, which is, there's an article that also talks about this terminology of sort of Afropiano, sort of the fusion of Amapiano and Afrobeats. Sort of, even when we're talking about it on the continent, is there an argument to be made that, hey, okay, we have Ashake, who's making a lot of records that have very much so a deep South African dance music beat rhythm to it. When you listen to it, you think about, like, I believe it's called Sumami. It's one of the records that he has on his new album. But even Sumba, when you even think of Sumba, like, that has a sort of Amapiano vibe to it. Is it a conversation of South Africans who are the originators of this genre of Amapiano? Should they be the ones benefiting the most from it being popularized? Or is it a thing of, hey, as long as if you acknowledge that we are the originators of this thing we called I'm a Piano, or this thing called Afrobeats. It doesn't matter who benefits from it financially the most, you know?
I think it does matter. I think it always does matter. And I think I'm a Piano, the little that I do know about it seems like almost the perfect, like, sensitive genre to talk about, because it seems like the sort of thing where, like, we're finally seeing a lot more, like, women DJs or women, like, artists at the forefront of that field. We know that it's, like, from a particular, like, what's it called? Not even, like, a subculture, but, like, a tiny group of coincidences and peoples, right? That's the way it seems that Amapiano was born. Not, and I don't say coincidences to mean, like, people didn't work hard or, like, did it by mistake. It's, like, chance, you know? But I do think that there's, like, there's something to be said about Nigeria being the country on the one of the countries on the continent that has, like, the largest cultural exports for the continent, right? And how they kind of seem to be, like, the big man, you know? And I think that, the like, where credit goes, the money should follow, you know? If Amapiano, since Amapiano was made by South Africans, like, they should be, like, the primary benefactors of its, you know, rewards. These for Asake's album to be called the greatest, like, the great Amapiano album of the year in, like, the second or third year that we see Amapiano on a global stage is kind of wild. Like, it's kind of it signals that you're not listening to, like, Amapiano from South Africa, you know? And I'm not claiming that I am, but I'm just saying, like, I know enough not to say that Asake's album is the greatest Amapiano album to come out of this year, for real.
But the funny thing is that was a South African DJ that said that. And I think it was an acknowledgement of, and in the article, they sort of had this back and forth of, I think a part of it is, hey, Nigerians saw a sound that just worked, a sound that everybody is loving, a sound that it's truly a dance genre. That, I mean, that is what Amapiano is. It's a true dance genre to the bone. I mean, obviously, there's an infusion of house music into it, so that actually comes with it being a dance genre. But it also is the fact that it has this mix. I always tell people, there's actually somebody on Twitter at one point who was talking about, like, Amapiano is the oontz music of Africa. And it is, because it has sort of that, when you go to, like, an EDM club, let me see, the whites dance, okay? They move. It's almost infectious. It's almost like as if there's a drug that you just infuse these people with, right? And I think Amapiano sort of has that same sort of effect on it, because it also has some aspects of Amapiano have, like, an EDM sort of techno elements to it, that, you know, there's something about it. But then obviously at the core of it, it is South African. It is rooted in sort of the traditional sounds of South Africa. But I think, again, Nigerians saw that this sound works. People are going crazy when they hear this sound. Everybody's dancing when they hear this sound. How can we infuse it in what we already have going on? And I think they just did it.
Ghanaian music too. They did that High Life, right? And then it's not that they refused credit to Ghanaians for it. It's just that there's, like, still an ongoing beef, and still the fact that Nigerians are big boys. And I know people are going to come for me for this. Nigerians are going to come for me for this, as they always do. But that's okay. That's okay. Right. I'm just saying, like, that's what Afrobeats has been. You know, it sees what works and it jumps on it. It brings it in with open arms. But I think it should be, like, respectful open arms. Like, hey, I see you over there. I see what you're doing. You know, as opposed to, give me that, and now I make all the money from it, you know?
And I think that's what they were in this article. Was it this one or was it a different? I think it was this one where he was sort of talking about that he thinks that the Nigerian industry has almost, like, it has this cannibalization characteristic to it. Which I don't know if I feel like using the word, like, cannibalization is a bit harsh, and it's a bit like that's quite a strong, like, it's a strong word, you know. It's like a very, very strong verb to attach to, like, cannibalize. Like, that's a very strong sort of verb to attach to how the Nigerian music industry is able to morph itself. And really, that's what they do. They're able to morph themselves in a way where they're able to produce a sound that they just know is going to work. And I think that's what happened to High Life. And here's the thing. And they always going back and forth. I remember, I think it was the Grammys that at one point they posted something saying that Afrobeats is a genre with influences from Caribbean and African-American music, as well as, I don't know what they said, maybe traditional West African music, or whatever they said. And I remember people actually went crazy. Like, everybody on TikTok, all the Nigerians are going crazy, all the every African our age was going crazy. But I was like, they're not entirely wrong. I mean, let's be honest with it. They're not entirely wrong. Like, Afrobeats, again, because it's an umbrella term. Afrobeats within itself is not an actual genre alone. It's not a standalone genre. It's an umbrella term for music and sounds that come from West Africa, primarily Ghana and Nigeria. And when you think of the sound that we know of Afrobeats today, it also has origins in Afrobeat. Fela Kuti, who is the father of Afrobeat. And when you think about the sound that he created, was a fusion of different sounds. It was both obviously sort of his Yoruba heritage, traditional sort of percussion sound that he incorporated in his music. But he also traveled to the U.S. and he was also inspired by sort of, when you think about James Brown and you think about jazz and pop music at that time that was coming predominantly from these Black pop artists. And he talked about how sort of that was an influence. He incorporated that. But he also talked about like another big influence of sort of what he created of Afrobeat was High Life, again, with huge origins from Ghana. That's where it was popularized at that time. And he himself, you have the father of Afrobeat recognizing that there was an influence in the genre that he created. But yeah, we can't accept the fact that something originating from somewhere doesn't mean that it doesn't have an influence from the outside. And I think that's really where the debate is always. It's always, oh, no, we can't like accept that there was some influence, some outside influence, because accepting that means that this is not our music, or that we didn't create this thing, or this thing is not unique. Or think about East Africa. We eat chapati. We eat all of these different foods that we make in meals, which are influenced by sort of the Indian immigrants that came in trade from the East and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I still say chapati. We make chapati. That's East African food. But I know it has origins from what? India. Does it make less of an East African staple, an East African food that we eat? And the way we change, the way we make it is a tiny bit different. And maybe that's an extreme example, right? But I think that we have to acknowledge the fact that our music, there definitely has been influence from the outside, but that influence does not dilute from the fact that at the heart of what Afrobeats is, at the heart of what Amapiano is a sound that is rooted in the traditional sounds, in the traditional sort of artistic expressions of the continent and then people from the continent. Caribbean music, I'm sorry, there's some Afrobeat songs when I listen to them, they straight up sound like dancehall.
I don't know, like, it's really not that hard, and it's really not that deep, because what makes me happy at the end of the day is the fact that it's Black people just influencing each other. It's Black people pulling from each other. It's Black people from all over the world within the diasporas, like, logging into what's going on in each other's lives. Like, going out in Ghana these days, you can't be out and not hear Amapiano. Like, to the point, sometimes I hear more Amapiano than I hear Afrobeats when I'm out in Accra.
Yeah.
And it's a frequent occurrence, and sometimes I'm irritated by it. Sometimes I'm just, like, fatigued from all the Amapiano because I can only for so long, right?
Yeah.
But it goes to show that, like, Ghanaians have now kind of logged in to South African culture in a way that they hadn't before, right? Ghanaians have logged into, like, they logged into British culture a while ago, Black British culture, but like Caribbean culture into hopefully one day East African culture, because we're yet to break that glass, really, sincerely.
Not definitely, no question.
But I think as long as we just like, we continue to realize like it's where it's from, we're influenced by it. It is what it is. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. It's not that deep.
And I think that's what people have to... And people must accept that. Like, it's nothing new. It's just in different forms. It's in different shapes, but it's not new at the core of it. And look, at the core of it, all of these sounds are going to originate back to the continent. I mean, when you think, sometimes I'll listen to Cuban music, or I'll listen to Haitian music, and I'm thinking I'm listening to like Congolese music. I'm thinking I'm listening to you. So there's always, I think people have to always understand that there's always been sort of almost like this heartbeat that's literally always connecting the continent and the diaspora, always has been throughout the centuries. And that our music evolve, and that we pick up from sounds from our ancestors, and they may have taken it a little bit in a different direction when they went to this part, and maybe we took it a different direction. But then when we bring it back together, it's like you're just putting back what was meant, the two puzzles that were missing, right? And I think to me, that's what I think of like the new sort of African genres that are developing. I think it's really putting together the pieces that necessarily weren't missing, but when you talk about in the context of commercialization, you do need all these different pieces to come together. You need these various influences from around the world and from the diaspora, as well as the content to have a fusion of the two, because you want to also create an audience, right? You want to create music that you know a lot of different groups of people can vibe to and can like. And so you take the sounds that you already know people like, hip-hop. Literally the entire globe listens to hip-hop, loves hip-hop. Mm-hmm. You think about R&B. Who in their right mind does not like R&B? You think about dance hall. Who in their right mind does not like dance hall? And then you have these sounds that you already know are already popularized, which you also probably grew up on listening. So if you grew up listening to something, how in the world do you think that is not going to influence even your music taste and what you end up producing? Even if you try to escape from it, it's hard to. It is hard to when that's what you grew up listening to, right? And I think that's what we have to acknowledge. But speaking about influence, and, you know, obviously we're saying it with the Nigerians, West Africans, but it's really not just the Nigerians and West Africans. Everybody on the continent, every artist, every big artist, at least on the continent, is making an Amapiano track record right now. Or they've already created one. Yeah. Even on the East, I mean, you think about, there is literally almost like a new Amapiano song coming from Tanzania almost about every single week. And they've been at this for about 3 years now. I'm telling you, about 3 years now, they've been at this where you hear a new Amapiano. Diamond Platinum has multiple Amapiano, Harmonize, 90, all of these people. The only place, actually, Kenya is the one place that I don't know what's going on, but the artists there don't seem to be hopping on the Amapiano wave, which is very interesting. And I think it's such a stupid mistake on their part, economically speaking, like for commercial purposes. Hop on Amapiano because it is the sound that is trending. I don't know why they haven't. I don't know in Rwanda if Amapiano is something that artists there have hopped on. I haven't listened to a track yet, but I'm assuming not if it's entirely. Not coming, if it came, it's going to come soon at some point.
Yo, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear my...
It needs to. It needs to.
In Rwanda. Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
But yeah, everybody is hopping on this wave, and it's not just something that's distinct to Amapiano. Even with Afrobeats, the past 10 years, every single artist on the continent has been trying to make music that sounds exactly like Afrobeats, like the West African music in East Africa. The same thing. It might have been East Africanized. I mean, just think about it from your experience. Obviously, you know, you've lived in Kenya, you lived in Rwanda, whatnot, and so you lived in East. Well, at least in East Africa longer than I have, unfortunately. But, you know, growing up, did you not see that sort of this thing where those artists in East Africa were trying to ascribe to that same sound of Afrobeats?
Yeah, I remember, especially in Kenya, is where I began to see it a lot more. Because I feel like the music industry in Rwanda is still, like, budding, and there are a lot of obstacles that, like, they're not getting the support that they need, right?
Right.
In order to be, like, dropping stuff as often as they should or keeping up with everything, even though they're really trying. But in Kenya, I'd say definitely Sauti Sol, definitely the features and the interaction with West Africa has been, like, decades coming. Decades coming. Tanzania as well, I definitely saw that. I don't know about Congo or like deep East, like Horn East Africa. But definitely, like, it's not just people want to make Afrobeats. It's also the fact that people want to listen to Afrobeats. Like, going out in Kigali, once again, I'll hear more Afrobeats and I hear Rwandan music. It will be to the point where, like...
I heard that about Kenya as well, Nairobi. That's where I heard. I heard Nairobi. Yeah. You'll hear less Kenyan music. You'll hear even more Tanzanian music than Kenyan.
People are hooked. People are hooked to the point that it's like, we will recycle, like, songs that have been out for decades before we play our own. The music is good, fam. Like, people know they hear good music and they want to keep playing it and they want to, like, enjoy it with each other by themselves, all the above. That's what it is.
And you know, the most interesting thing is that a lot of times when you look at a lot of different countries in Africa and you look at who the top charting artists are at the current time of the top charting songs, more than most likely, you will always find usually a Nigerian in top 10 in each country, or at least top 20, if not top 10. And that is also another indicator, another exception with Kenya and Tanzania, though. Tanzania, I will give Tanzania some credit. Tanzanians love Tanzanian music. They truly are hardcore patriotic fans of the Bongo Flava sound. They really are. The most trending songs are going to be Tanzanian. The most trending artists are going to be Tanzanian. Even in Kenya, the most trending artists usually will be Tanzanian from time to time. I've seen it where it's sort of the top artists for this week in Kenya, five of them in a row, Tanzanian. And I think, but even having said that, that does not stop Tanzanians from enjoying West African music or from enjoying Amapiano. They will still love it and they will still like it, but I think that it is a thing, it is a case study in that if you want your local music to grow, the people living there really have to be supporting it to an extreme level, to a level where the top five artists, they should at least be three out of the five that are from there. There's no way that you should have all top five be from outside that country, or the top 10, most of them are from outside that country, or the top songs charting. I get it. If a song is a hit, Last probably was trending in, it was trending in the US. I'm sorry, it was in the top 100 global songs, on Apple and Spotify. So I get it. Songs like that, I understand if they're at the top. But every week, in the top five, you should have some of the artists, some of the homegrown artists on there. And I think that that's really the conversation that I think ought to be had, is do people do Africans in various countries, in their specific countries, are they supporting their homegrown artists the same way that they're supporting artists that are outside of that country, right? And I think that's really what the conversation should be about. More so, because if you're not really being supported like that at home, well, globally, you really won't be supported outside of your home. You will not. And I think places like, I keep saying Tanzania, not to big up the country that I was born in, but I think that's an example where you see them, they really support their local talents, but they will still enjoy and listen to sort of all these the Amapiano artists, South African artists, the Ghanaian, the Tanzanians, all the artists, even Rwandan. Sometimes you'd be having songs from Rwanda trending in Tanzania. So I think that is the kind of conversation that I think ought to be had of how do we make sure that the sounds from each countries are able to grow at a healthy level where they can, the artists there can actually start making money and be financially stable, right? And be able to make business out of the genre that's homegrown. And then as a continent overall, we can influence our sounds, we can celebrate each other's music, but there ought to be a conversation how music is being supported in these individual countries. And I think Nigeria look, they're also bigger in numbers. That's just a reality. Yeah. They are bigger in numbers.
We have to give credit where credit is due. And I think Nigeria is one of the countries that nationally does a lot to invest in culture, does a lot to invest in arts and culture and their music and their, like, think about how the biggest film industry on the continent is Nollywood. Sure, it comes to numbers. Sure, it comes to, like, the fact that, you know, Nigeria is Nigeria. But those people have put the time and effort. Like, they are, like, investing in young talent. They are giving people platforms. They are, like you said, celebrating their own, bringing up their own, right? But if you don't have, like, a state or a culture of appreciating your own culture, than the people who do want to like make art for a living or like big up your culture for a living mm-hmm. aren't going to be like incentivized to do that at all, right? And I think that's definitely a big thing in Rwanda. A big thing in Rwanda. I don't know how many concerts that like smaller artists have tried to put on that end up getting like canceled or end up getting shut down by the police or just different ways that like we really could be supporting our own for our own benefit, but we're just not. We're not, man. And the people who are, they're winning from it. Like,
And shout out to them people. Shout out to the winners. I can't be mad. You know what?
But you're doing it right.
But I think honestly, and that's, there has to be another conversation, but I think that that is a conversation to look at. And I think for those of us who are not Nigerian or not from Nigeria, although, again, I think Tanzania is doing it right. I think there's areas that they could improve on and change, but I think overall the support is there. And I think they've even, because another thing that people have to understand is that the thing that Nigeria also has is that they have a, they also had an entertainment industry, right? Because they had Nollywood, right? So you always need an entertainment industry, media and entertainment industry to be able to support sort of the music industry. You need it's multiple things that have to function together. When you just have one, it's going to be very difficult. You think about South Korea. It's not just K-pop, you know. They got their what are the Korean movies? What is that genre called? K-dramas, you know. Yeah. Yes, so it's
the fashion side of it, like
exactly. Everything. So it's multiple things that have to fit within that system in order for it to work. It can't just be, oh, we need great musicians. Well, okay, great. You need great musicians, but you also need a media industry that's actually healthy, that's actually functioning, that's actually on beat, you know, because artists are always going to need this fanfare. They're always going to need this sort of buzz going, because buzz, if you don't have buzz, people will forget about you. They'll forget you exist. And Tanzania, let me tell you something. You will have stories upon stories about all these artists. Oh, this is doing well. Baby mama drama, baby daddy drama. Of course, it's not saying like I enjoy that, but fans enjoy that. They like to feel like as if they know these people are there in their lives. And again, that's not to say we should have a media industry that's creating this salacious stories, but you do need a media industry to be able to follow you around, follow the things that you're doing so that you are always in the mind of the people from there. But also who, if you drop projects, oh, you can go and be interviewed on this, on this specific radio or show or a newspaper or So it's a bigger, the infrastructure has to be there in order for that industry to grow. I wanted to ask you, since you're in Ghana and you talked about how sort of amapiano is the sound that you hear the most at clubs, and I've even heard that you don't, you'll mostly even hear a lot of like Nigerian music, obviously, because that's what's trending. I feel like as if when I think of like sort of the mid 2010s and even somewhat early 2010s, Ghana was leading a huge. Ghana was just as close as Nigeria in terms of the Afrobeat sound. I shouldn't say leading, but they were just neck and neck, in my opinion. Because the way Ghanaians had us in a chokehold with Azonto. I mean, even Nigerian artists now, you remember the Azonto, even Davido, all these people doing Azonto. I mean, it was, they, even East Africans. I remember Diamond Platnumz, he made a song, what is it called? Number One or something like that, where like, Davido was actually featured on there. They were doing Azonto. I mean, I remember that time when Ghana was at the forefront and was just right there neck and neck with Nigeria. But I feel like in the past 3-4 years, I really haven't seen as much output from sort of Ghana when it comes to the music side, as I feel like I'm seeing from the Nigeria. Again, Nigerians have the number. I get that. But I don't know. It just feels like it's waned. I can only think of, I'm trying to think artists in Ghana who I can think of that are really, I'm sorry, it's even hard for me to think of one off the top of my head. And that's saying that there aren't. I love my Ghanaians. Ghanaians, please do not be offended by this. I'm only asking because I feel like as if the output that's coming out of Ghana, where that music, whatever's being put out there, for mm-hmm. the way in which it used to get popular, the level of sort of fame that sort of these songs used to catch, mm-hmm. it's not there anymore. At least I'm not seeing it. I'm not experiencing it. Do you feel the same way being in Ghana? Do you feel similar sentiments from Ghanaian fans about sort of Nigerians almost taking over and Ghanaians sort of being overshadowed by sort of what's happening in Lagos? Or do you not see that sort of worry or that those concerns?
Not fully. I'm still, and I think that this is the sentiment amongst Ghanaians, I'm still very excited about the music coming out of Ghana or the music being made in Ghana, right? And I think this goes back to the way that I like to think about music as more about like the art than the business, right? Okay. To me, like it shouldn't be about hits. And this is going to get very idealistic as opposed to realistic about the way that things work. It shouldn't be about what sells. It shouldn't be about the hits. It should be about like what feels good, what feels right, what feels like it's making a difference. What's making people like bop their heads, dance, you know? Mm. And I don't think that there's a shortage of that in Ghana. I think that like when I moved here, I expected to hear like the Afrobeat that I had heard all my life, right? Mm-hmm. But I realized that there was a whole range to explore just from Ghana alone, right? I see young people making like Afro soul. I see
the trap sound.
Yes, like very.
I love the Ghanaian trap sound. I love it. One of the best on the continent. One of the best on the continent.
Mind blowing, fam. It's mind. I'd be on my way to like in the elevator at work. I'm like aggressively shaking my body just because it's that good. Just because it's that good. So I don't think like I'm not worried about Ghanaian music not doing great. I'm very, very excited. And I think that's the general sentiment amongst people. I just don't think, I think we should let go of this general idea of celebrity, right? And this goes back to the point you were talking about in terms of like building a media industry, building an industry to support musicians and music being created. The idea of like turning people into beacons, right? Putting them on pedestals, right. Having little magnifying glasses on their entire lives, or just like being known by greater numbers of people, that's just not healthy. That's not healthy for them. That's not healthy for us as consumers of what they're putting out. And even though like it does bring them money, it does do that, it also just like it takes away a lot of soul, right? Between how we interact with art and artists in general. And I don't like, there is, trust me, do not worry about Ghana. Do not worry about Ghanaian music.
I'm not worrying, but I feel like what you're experiencing in Ghana, I'm not experiencing outside of Ghana. And I think to me, that's my worry. I think that's, I should have phrased it that way. My Ghanaian brothers and sisters, y'all, Ghana for you know, I love y'all. I got mad love for you. But I think, and I've had this conversation with Ghanaian before, but and they kind of saw the sentiment that I was bringing, and they kind of alluded to maybe there is a thing there, in that I think you all in Ghana, I think y'all are experiencing the culture. I think we're just not experiencing that culture that y'all are experiencing right now. And I feel like it's missing. I'm even thinking, like, when I think tours, how many Ghanaian artists are going on tours here in the U.S.? Compared to like Nigerian artists or the African artists, it's not that many. You know what I mean? And when I look at it from that perspective, it is probably it is a worry. It has to be a worry. And yes, I know probably I have you and I probably have left versus right brain and whatnot, but we do have to care about the business side. And the reason why we have to care about the business side, because again, we go back to the question of ownership and who's benefiting from what. And because it's like you are enjoying it there locally, but if there's any worry from any other individuals who are part of that Afrobeat sound, which in this case Ghanaians are, all the world is going to see and is going to see as the forefront of Afrobeat is just going to be Nigeria. And I think that the problem with that is that we're missing out on a different side of Afrobeats that really, I feel like in the 2014s I was enjoying and I grew up on. And I missed the Azul. I'm sorry, I missed Azul. I want to experience it. That's the only reason why I'm saying that.
Yeah, I think that's how you get me and my, I like to think about music and the way it makes people feel brain. The like still thinking about how like the diaspora or people who are just not in the country, right? Mm-hmm. Will get to interact or will get to feel the music. It needs to get out there. I get what you mean. I get that. I'm just wary of turning everything into money, man. But I guess it's a little late for that one.
Well, you know what? Money will keep the musicians fed and those who work for the musicians fed as well. We did chop money. There's a lot of money in music, my friend. I'm telling you. So you know what, Kakazi? I'm so glad that you came on this podcast to have this conversation. I think I took a lot of great things out of it, right? I think I came into this conversation with probably certain assumptions or expectations for how it would go. And then, you know, those assumptions, some of them were shattered. Again, and that's because you're there. I am not. You are there. I am not. You are in Accra, Ghana, and I am not. You are in Africa, and I am not. You're in the motherland, and I am in the United States of North America. That is where I am.
Come visit. Save your American dollars and come to the continent.
Just tell your mom, hold on for a little bit. Just tell your mom, hold on a little bit.
We're here for a while. This is home. We're here for a while.
Really? That's what I like to hear. Because let me tell you, I need to come to Accra soon.
You want to do December 2023? I'll mark my calendar.
Hey, if anybody's listening and would like to sponsor Bobby Nishimwe's trip to Accra, Ghana, please contact me. You can email me at robertnishimwe2@gmail.com and I'll respond right back to me. Also, you can drop in the DMs too. I can send you my Venmo, Cash App, Zelle information, whatever. Western Union, if that is what you like. If you're sending it from the continent, Apple Pay. We are available. Well, because Kakazi has been telling me to go to Ghana for at least the past, year and a half or something. And I just haven't got my act together and put my funds together to go. But if there's a sugar mama who wants to sponsor me, please feel free to sponsor me. I'll be ready to go. Before we go, is there anything, any song, any sound from Rwanda or from Kigali that we should be on the lookout for? I'm sorry I didn't prepare you, but I was like, I must ask before we leave.
I knew this was coming. I'm gonna pull up.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. Of course, it's Bobby. Why wouldn't
I do? Let's see. First, this is a standard. I have three for you, okay?
All right.
This is a rapper, Sema Sole, right? I'm going to send you the Wuru. Sema Sole, S-O-L-E. I don't know why that is.
Sema Sole. Sema means to say. What's he saying?
Good shit. All of it. The Wuru EP, that one, exquisite. I think it dropped like last year. I've been bumping it ever since. Any single time I have like 13 minutes, not even to spare, but 13 minutes, I will play it. And then we're going to do Teta Diana. This lady gives me like almost traditional Rwandan music. It's like a Rwandan yodel, if you will, sometimes.
A what?
Her vocals go like a yodel. You know yodeling?
Okay.
You know how... Yeah, you've listened to like old or you've seen like the traditional Rwandan dance, right? And the songs that they have in the background.
I know the sounds, yes.
Right. You got it.
Guys, if you want me to help you with your Rwandan wedding entertainment needs, I got you. I was trained by the best. I got you.
And Diana definitely gives me that feel. I love it. Omugwegwe.
Omugwegwe. And what's Omugwegwe mean?
Omugwegwe. That's a great question. What I think it means, it's like Imigwegwe, I think, is what we use to weave like the baskets, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a...
Yes, the ones that are traditional weddings.
So I think that's what Omugwegwe is, but I'm going to have to double check. But that EP was fire too. And then I'm gonna have to plug the Underwar crew. Like them, those boys make music.
They're called the Underworld crew. Underworld.
Underwar. So they're called Underwar. UNDERWORRA. Spelling is hard.
Yeah, it's bad. I never did a spelling bee. That's why I never did one. I knew where I would have been placed.
Would have been out in the first round.
I should give myself more credit than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah, I can do
me,
it.
I failed one spelling bee. And let me tell you, the word haunted me to this
day.
The
word miscellaneous.
I wake up in the middle of the night spelling that word. And I think the winning word was something like profit. They really tried to
scam me.
They saw that I was coming for the crown, and they said, we're going to throw her a curveball. She's not ready for this one.
They didn't want a real queen to win. That's what it was. That's all it was. That's all it was. They felt bad for the other ones. They just felt bad for the other ones. Yeah.
I know. Three recommendations. The Underwar crew, you should listen to them both as individuals because they make their own music as artists, but also together as a group. Fire stuff.
I'll definitely listen to it. Also, I just gotta let y'all know, Kakazi has taken the best photos of me while in college. Like, I have not had a better photographer while I was in college. Let me see, the photos that Kakazi took of me while I was in college, I was like, whoa. I was like, wow.
Bobby, it was all you. Bobby saw me with a camera and he would just smolder. A sweaty brown house party. He was just
you.
And then he had
That was actually so like impromptu, and it was just like that was like, so.
The little mountain was out. I said, "This is a trap, heterosexual ladies. Watch out, Bobby is."
You thought I was feeling you? Do you know who I ran into at a Shaka's concert the other day?
Who?
Oju, I believe that's her name.
I should have guessed. I love guessing. I should have guessed that one.
I went to Ashake's concert solo dolo. Cause me, I don't care. Me, I want to see Ashake. Okay. Because all my friends either didn't want to buy the ticket because I thought it was too high, or they were going to see them in a different city. So I said, okay. Me, I want to go see Ashake. Nothing was stopping me. So I went. So yeah, I'm like kind of towards the back. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to fight to get in the front. I'm cool. I'll chill over here. Mm-hmm. And I'm dancing. This girl comes and looks at me. It's like, Bobby, is that you? I'm looking at her, which, I hate that I'm admitting this, but at first I didn't recognize who she was.
Shame.
Because it's like, it kind of gets dark and like, you know, with the lights and stuff. And I just like, in my head, I haven't seen her in like 5 years maybe. So I just was not really in the mindset to like meet somebody that I knew from like 5 years ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Bobby, is that you? And for 1 second, I'm like, is it me? I don't know. I'm trying to look at it. I'm like, yo. And then slowly but surely, like, I start to recognize who it is, but I can't remember the name. Because, you know, I'm terrible with names. And I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, it's great seeing you. Whole time, I'm trying to think of the name because I don't know her name. I can't remember her name. I know, Oju, and you see this, I know your name. I just could not remember of it in the moment.
On you. No,
but it was a great interaction though. It was a great interaction. Shout
did
out
you see
to
her him. Dance. Did she dance at the concert? She definitely danced. You just didn't see her. Oju.
She was at the front though. Like Oju was, you know, some of those babes, they just go to the front. Me, I'm not pushing to go to the front.
But let me tell you one thing about Oju. Actually, let me tell you two things. Her niece.
Mm-hmm.
Oju came to visit me in Kigali.
Yeah.
And I went out with her, her friend, and my sister. And my sister pulled me to the side and she said, I have never seen someone dance that hard. I have never seen someone able to do these things.
Maybe she has South African knees. She has some South African knees we don't know about. That's what it is.
And she has this little long strap shoulder bag. It's moving with her. That girl is an athlete. An athlete. Among regular people like us. Big up to Oju. Big love.
Big up to Oju. Oju. Big up to Oju. Oh, just reminiscing on the college days. Oh, brown house. Oh, another bunga. Hey. Appreciate you coming on. We'll have to do this again after December, once you've experienced what Ghana and December. Actually, that's what we need to do. We need to do a Ghana and December episode, because I need to know what that's like.
Okay.
And Alira will be there too, so I'll have to get from you too what the vibes were. Oh, I know y'all going to Accra. You know where I'm going. I always say I'm going. I'm fucking staying in this fucking country, man. Joe Biden, I love America. Please. Yes. Patriotic. But Kikazi, thank you for coming on. I can't
it's
appreciate
been lovely
you.
Lovely seeing
more.
You catching up.
Likewise.
I love it.
I know. I we have it. To do this a lot more.
We do.
And if you have Ghanaian friends of yours in the arts industry, the music industry, tell them they can come on.
Okay. I'll let them know.
Even some fun babes as well. You can send them my number directly.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
Some jokes are expensive, Bobby. There are lots of fine babes out here. Some jokes are expensive. There are lots
let me
of
tell you
babes.
Something. I'm all the ladies out there. I might not be the guy who's sending you $20 a week, but I will be the guy who will cook for you. Do you want to? It's getting cold outside, Sha. Do you?
You know when you started that sentence, I was a little shaky. The way you threw in the food.
But hey, I had you in the first half, did I not?
Yo.
I might tell you a joke, but I never tell you a lie. Another thing, babes, I can teach you Swahili as well.
Bobby,
I can cook
it.
For you and teach you Swahili.
Just send me the resume, okay?
Okay, I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you.
Dropping people's 5-year plan. Huh?
I can make you a playlist as well. I'm not one of those guys. I'm being real with you. Okay, maybe I am. I don't know. No. If you are a babe and I make a playlist for you, you're the only babe I'm making a playlist for. There's no other babe I'm making a playlist for.
At that point in time and space.
I don't recycle playlists. I just have to say that.
Thank you. Because I was like, is he just changing the name on it?
No, come on. I'm not that cheap, Sha. But yeah, Kikazi, Asante.